In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So we're continuing with this great understanding of, I'm stuck here, of this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. We're on volume 31, October 16th, 1932. And it's about the divine volition always goes weaving its divine life in Luisa's soul. So here, this great gift of the divine will was Luisa's life. And, you know, this is what she says is the divine volition is weaving its divine life. It's like, with every thread of the human, every thread of the divine was interweaving, bringing this, this new and divine way of holiness in Luisa. And she says, with its sweet enchantment, it makes it grow. So the enchantment of this great gift of the divine will continues to grow in each and every one of us. As we read, as we study, as we put into practice these truths, God is doing something magnificent in the souls and the divine will. And what he is doing is, he tells Luisa, he's getting ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this new and divine way of holiness, it's basically what he has waited for. He said for 6,000 years, he says creation was a divine decree and we see creation all around us. Redemption was a divine decree to redeem humanity and now sanctification. And, he's giving us the opportunity, to enter into this gift, an opportunity that the saints did not have. The saints did not have the opportunity to enter into sanctification because what Jesus teaches us about Luisa is she is the one who's been given this gift. So, I mean, you couldn't be a Franciscan without Francis. You couldn't be a Dominican without Saint Dominic. You couldn't be a Benedictine without Saint Benedict. You needed them to bring about these religious communities. And Jesus says this, the divine volition is weaving its divine life where? In Luisa's soul. The whole book of heaven, this diary that Luisa wrote is about her and Jesus and Mary. And offering this to humanity. But the one who possesses it, the only one who possesses it at this point, Jesus shows us, is Luisa. I've heard many people say, oh, there's many, many saints that possess the divine will. That's not what Jesus says. He says there'll be very, very few at first. Why? Because it's what Jesus breathed into Luisa that what she put down on paper, as the souls read and study and put this into practice, does the soul begin to become aware of this new and divine way of holiness? So when somebody says, oh, Saint so-and-so lived in the divine will, I said, how much of Luisa did she or he read? Well, how much did he or she study? Listen to what Jesus, this is 1932. The divine will weaves its divine life in my soul. How? With its sweet enchantment. As she's reading this, she's enchanted by it. As she's studying this, she's enchanted by it. What happens at that point? The divine will makes it grow. The divine will molds this. Divine will nourishes this. And with its wings of light, covers the soul and hides it so that not one breath of wind can harm it, nor could impede the growth of this divine life in her soul. With the Book of Heaven, and this is, those who are reading the Book of Heaven understand very clearly, you can't wait to read again the next day because it's Jesus with his lessons, Jesus with these manifestations to Luisa, Jesus with these truths, Jesus with these prophecies, Jesus with these promises. As you read, your soul becomes expanded. It's you become more attentive to listen, to read, to study, to put this into practice. That's why Jesus keeps on saying to Louisa, be attentive, Louisa, be attentive to what I, the Word of God, am speaking to you. Be attentive to this new and divine way of holiness. And if you've been reading, you know exactly what that is. It's little by little, step by step, of this deep understanding. What does Louisa say? It's a sweet enchantment that grows, that molds, that nourishes. It's wings of light that cover it and hide it, so that not one breath of the wind can harm it or impede its growth of its divine life in Louisa's soul. And little by little, we experience this. When we read the three appeals, the third appeal, when St. Honorable de Francia said to Louisa, would Jesus and Mary be willing to write to tell us what they want? And you, Louisa, you also tell us what you know. And that's the three appeals. When you read the three appeals, Jesus speaks. He goes, I know how you're living. I know how you're living separate from me. And he says, since you haven't come after me, I'm going to come after you. And it's a war. It's a war of love, not a war of blood. And I'm going to win. This sanctification that God has planned from the beginning of time is given to us. And it's ours if we wish. But the fullness of it, Jesus says, will happen when I find souls that want the divine will more than anything, and then I will give it to the world. This great event is going to occur. And he's looking at those who has had the book of heaven, as you're reading, as you're studying, as you're putting this into practice, that the same thing's happening. This divine life, this sweet enchantment makes it grow, molds it, nourishes it, covers it, hides it. And it doesn't impede the growth of divine life in the soul. Again, no one has it fully. The first one, when you read the three appeals, she says to the Holy Father, you, Holy Father, you who are the head of the Catholic Church, you are the head of the divine will. And therefore, you have to be the first to have this fullness of life in you. So when we look around, what does Jesus say to Peter? Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, which means there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a war to take this away from the man who has the keys. The Holy Catholic Church, this universal life that has been breathed into humanity. Our Lord loves us very, very much, and he's giving us the opportunity to read, to study, and to put this into practice. So Louisa says this, and I, again, it's so true what we hear. Oh, if it were not for the divine will, what more than a tender and loving mother holds me in its arms, covers with its light in the circumstances of my life. Alas, too sorrowful, I do not know what I would do. So here she says, if it were not for the divine will, and so many people have said this to me, what would I do if I didn't have the divine will at this time? How would I be able to stand my ground, you know, being faithful to Christ and his church, when everything around in my family, my friends, my neighbors, the nation, the world seems to be falling apart? What would I do without the divine will? Because the divine will, Louisa says, is more than a tender and loving mother, holding me in its arms, covering me with its light in the circumstances of my life. And she says, alas, so sorrowful, too sorrowful. I do not know what I would do without this great gift of the divine will. Those that are reading know exactly what these words are about. It gives us great hope. It gives us great courage. It gives us to be able to fight in these times. And we begin to understand the words of the saints when Saint Joan of Arc would say, I am not afraid. I was born for this time. God is with me. And it's more of a struggle. When we look at the words of Saint Michael to Sister Mary Ephraim of Our Lady of America. She says to Sister Mary Ephraim, "You are my little Joan, the big Joan, Joan of Arc." She is 16 years old. She led an army into battle and won. She says, "Your struggle is going to be more difficult. How? Why? Because you're not fighting humans. You're fighting principalities and powers." This is what Joan of Arc went through. How much more now is Jesus saying this to us about Louisa? In the readings, he called Louisa like a second Ephraim, the one who saved the people, that saved the people from the evil ones. We're in this battle. We're in a battle. We're in a war. And a lot of people have laid down their arms and surrendered. That's not for us. We don't surrender. We say, "Lord, you have called us into battle." And he says this to Louisa, this great army of the divine will. What does this army do? What are we called to enter into? And this is what Louisa says, that this light of the divine will calms me. This light of the divine will strengthens me. Sorry. This light of the divine will draws me on. Oh, adorable will, how much I must thank you for such a great good. I offer you the infinity of your own will in order to thank you as you, God, deserve. We're in this battle, and we've been called by God to live at this time, this battle of battles, this war that's happening in the church, outside of the church, in every nation. The evil one, remember Our Lady speaking to Bruno in 1947. Our Lady said to Bruno, "Time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one." And God is calling us to live. So what is he giving to us that he didn't give to the saints is this new and divine way of holiness. What does it do? It calms me. It strengthens me. It draws me on. We don't lay down our weapons, to fight. We become stronger. We become more clear of what needs to be done. And we fight with this love of God. Oh, adorable will, how much I thank you for such a great good. I offer you the infinity of your own divine will in order to thank you as you, God, rightly deserve. This is the thing that is so magnificent about this war is we have Jesus, Mary, and now we have Louisa. In the Old Testament, it was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, the fulfillment of the prophets and the law. In the New Testament, we had Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the family of Nazareth, to fight for us, to be with us. And now Jesus says, now it's the new and divine way of holiness, which is Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And when we get to know Louisa, we begin to understand as the newborn, as the firstborn in the divine will, she possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Saint Joseph, Jesus says, was in the awe of Jesus and Mary, watching them live as the new Adam and the new Eve. He had the blessing to stand and watch in awe of God. And now what we have is to see and to hear. Whenever you have any difficulty, go to the letters of Louisa. Read the letters of Louisa. What she possesses within her basically is the DNA of Jesus and Mary. She speaks with authority. She speaks with love. She speaks with gentleness. She tells us to enter into this life of Jesus and Mary. Why? Because this is what she possessed. So listen to what she says. Oh, adorable divine will, how much I thank you for such a great good. And I offer you, it's not the goodness, the holiness, the saintliness of her. It's not Louisa. I offer you the infinity of your own will. As she breathed in this divine, I love you. Now she breathes out this divine, I love you, back to God. She gives to God what is God's. I offer you the infinity of your own will in order to thank you as you deserve. So while my mind felt itself under its light, to my beloved Jesus repeated his brief little visit to my soul. And this is what happens when you read. Every day that you read, Jesus is repeating his brief little visit to our soul. And he speaks to us as he spoke to Louisa. And this, listen to what he says to Louisa. My blessed daughter, Louisa, how beautiful it is to see the soul, the creature growing under the wings of the light of my divine will. Finally, Jesus says that after 6,000 years, finally, I'm seeing a soul growing under the wings of the light of the divine will, as Adam did. She was born of original sin. And now Jesus is saying, as God, how beautiful it is to see you, Louisa, under the wings of light of my divine will. And that's what God is saying to us as well. As we read, as we study, as we put into practice these truths, it enamors God, Jesus says, to witness a soul entering into this gift, not fully yet, but entering into this gift little by little, step by step. If you want to say, our DNA is changing, you know, into what? What was Adam's DNA like? It was the image and likeness of God. What does our DNA change into little by little, step by step? It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Jesus says, enveloped in this light, the soul neither sees nor hears nor touches anything but her mother's light that keeps her wrapped up. So he's saying, as we enter into this gift, it's not your light. It's not what you see, what you hear, what you touch, or anything. It's not your senses. It's the divine will. This mother's light of Jesus and Mary that keeps the soul wrapped up as a little one, as a newborn. If the creatures wound her, and this is what's happening, this is why many people say, I don't know what I would do without the divine will. Why? Their family wounds them. Their neighbors wound them. Their co-workers wound them. If the creatures wound the soul, beat the soul up, embitter the soul feels more squeezed and clasps to the arm of light, its arms of light, and respond with a smile of light to whomever wants to embitter or wound her. And joking with them, she confounds their human perfidy. See, what happens is like water off a duck's back. Once you enter the divine will, yes, nobody's going to want it. Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want this. They look at you with, what's wrong with you? You know, why do you want this of all things? This old woman in bed. They don't see Louisa as she really is, this newborn. As Jesus keeps on showing us, we see Louisa. And what does Jesus say? Enveloped in the light, Louisa, enveloped in this light, she doesn't see, hear, or touch anything but her mother's light, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, that's wrapping her, that's keeping her warm and secure. And even if creatures would wound her, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, embitter her, beat her, Louisa feels more squeezed and clasped to the arms of light and responds with a smile of light to those whoever wants to embitter or wound her. And joking with them, she confounds their human perfidy. See, it's when somebody says to me, I don't believe in Louisa Picaretta. I say, okay, you know, I'm not here to force you to read it. But if you do read it, you're never the same. You can't be the same. Human perfidy doesn't bother you anymore. It's the things that would bother you before are gone. Well, what does that mean? Nobody can embitter you. Nobody can wound you. Nobody can harm you in the divine will. Why? You've entered into a new and divine way of holiness, little by little. It's not fully yet. When that happens, that's going to be a glorious day. But little by little, God is showing you, teaching you, leading you, guiding you, molding you, getting you ready to enter into the new Jerusalem. When the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven. So what does Louisa say? She says, oh, power of my divine will, of power of my operating will, this great gift of the divine will, the power of God, the love of God, the life of God, it slips away from all that is against God, triumphs over all that is fighting against God. And with its light forms its throne of immortal glory in the soul who gives it the freedom to operate. So that prayer, for those that are reading the Book of Heaven, it's true. Power of the divine will operating in each and every one of us. It slips away from all that is against God. It triumphs over all that is fighting against God. I mean, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. When we see good friends of ours, you know, family of ours, neighbors of ours who don't want to surrender to God, don't want to embrace the sacraments and sacramentals, we see all this happening around us and it triumphs over everything. God is going to win. And in our prayer, is to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Our job is to give people this hope, okay? This is what happens to the souls who are reading the Book of Heaven. How beautiful it is to see, God says, to see the creature growing under the wings of light of my divine will. The soul doesn't see or hear or touch anything, but this mother's light of this light of the new Adam and the new Eve. And if creatures would wound her or try to wound her, beat her, embitter her, the soul feels more wrapped in this arms of light and responds with a smile to whomever would want to embitter or wound her. And joking with them, she confounds their human perfidy. Oh, the power of my divine will, this great gift of the divine will, Jesus says, it slips away from all, triumphs over all, and gives its light to form its throne of immortal glory in the heart, in the mind, in the soul, who gives the soul, the divine will, the freedom to operate in each and every one of us. Lord, reign in us. Lord, may your kingdom come on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. This is the glory that God has given to humanity at this point. It looks dark out there for those who don't have the divine will. It looks impossible for those that don't have the divine will. So entering into this gift, it gives us joy and hope and confidence. We begin to live heaven on earth, peace, joy, and happiness. And the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin begins to just dissolve in front of us. And when that day happens, when the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven, we're going to be singing hallelujah, praising God, glorifying God, worshiping God in a more intense way than we are now. Right now, we're praising God, glorifying God. We can't wait to be in the presence of our Eucharistic Lord. We can't wait to go to Holy Mass to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. We can't wait to sit down and read and listen to Jesus and Mary teaching us about this gift of gifts. This is a glorious time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive. And God has predestined us to be alive at this time. because we're going to witness what God has planned for Adam and his children 6,000 years ago. 6,000 years ago, we're going to witness this happening because God is going to win. The evil one can't win. He can't win. And that's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, time has come to an end. He says, my children are going to enter eternity where they belong. And the devil and his children will be always trapped in time and space, never be able to enjoy the beatific vision. Because this is what this failure, if you want to say, of the evil one is going to lose. He's going to fail greatly. But the children of God are going to enter into the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So as we're reading, as we're studying, as we're putting this into practice, we are filled with hope. We're filled with gratitude. We're filled with the divine love of God to the point of it's overflowing, to the point of possessing it completely. That's what's coming. And so God is, you see, don't limit God by saying, I have it, I possess it, because it's like somebody calling me on the phone and saying, I just found out the meaning of the divine will. It's in volume 7. It's December. And I go, that's volume 7. That's learning how to be in God's, a divine mirror of Jesus. It's learning how to become a saint, how to be good, holy, and saintly. Wait till you read volume 17. Wait till you read, volume 27. Volume 17 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Volume 27, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. We haven't seen anything yet. And God keeps on building this and building this and building this for all eternity. He's going to have us dive into this infinite ocean of love and drowned, as he says. I never want you to leave. The human that we understand now, the human understanding is so limited. God is asking us to enter into this, as he says, this triumph over all, this light that forms its throne of immortal glory in the soul, who gives God the freedom to operate in us as God originally planned in Adam. Again, nobody possesses it fully. Louisa does. Louisa possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. But what God is asking of us, are you willing to say yes, fiat, to what I'm going to lead you into? And it's step by step. That's the glory. He says, I can't fill you completely, Louisa, because you're already formed. I could breathe into the dust for Adam, because the dust was as much as I wanted to breathe in. And what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. He wasn't formed, but you were formed, Louisa. So he says, every word that I teach you, every word is a library of the word of God. Every word that Jesus speaks is infinite. And as we read it the next day, it's brand new. As we read it 1,000 years from now, it's brand new. Because he keeps on expanding our capacity to enter into this word that Jesus speaks. Let's just think, fiat lux, let there be light. The universe, the entire universe is growing. And even with the telescopes that we have today, we can see even further. What was the study this just recently? They looked into the darkest area of the universe, the blackest black. And as they entered into this, it was filled with stars, filled with galaxies. We haven't seen anything yet, what God is going to do. So volume 35, March 28, 1938. You must know that the creature who does her acts in our divine will makes complete and perfect acts. Okay, so the Lord is saying to us, I want you to be in my image and likeness. Only God can do a complete and perfect act. But when you enter into the divine will, Jesus says, you can make a complete and perfect act. But the one who always lives in it finds herself under the continuous rain, this pouring down of light that pours all the effects of various beauties of our divine will over the soul. And she moves, she palpitates, and she breathes. See, this is the image and likeness of God. You must know, Jesus says, that the soul who does her acts in our divine will. So the first thing we want to do in the morning is we want to do our prevenient act and then our actual acts throughout the day. The soul who does these learns how to do this. And again, it takes time because every time you read, he gives you a deeper understanding. And you read again, it's a deeper understanding. The soul who does her acts in our divine will makes complete and perfect acts, but the soul who lives always in it. So doing the divine will is volume 1 through volume 10. Once you get to volume 11, Jesus says, now living in the divine will, I'm going to show you even more. So doing the acts in the divine will makes complete and perfect acts, but the soul who lives always, now the soul who goes into volume 11 through volume 19, learning how to do this, how to live this life, finds yourself under the continuous rain of light, this pouring of all the effects of the various beauties of divine life over the soul. And as the soul moves and palpitates or breathes, God is reigning there, living. The soul is living in the will of God. This is why John Paul II says we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness, not like the saints who did the will of God, but now entering into the various beauties of divine life over the soul as God pours this shower of light, shower of love, shower of life over the soul, the heart beats, the soul, the body breathes. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's entering. All we're talking about right here is just scratching the surface. That's all we're doing. We're not even beginning to understand what this life means, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. So again, he says, our divine being is most pure light. Our divine being is endless light. It encloses all the possible and imaginable goods. God is looking at us and he's saying, who wants to enter into my image and likeness? This is what the divine will is. He says, I'm asking you so that you can enter into volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Our divine being is most pure light and all the being, endless light, and encloses all the possible and imaginable goods that a human could possibly embrace. We haven't seen anything yet. This, when the veil is lifted, watch what we will be just singing and glorifying God for all eternity. Understanding, not completely, it's going to be a mystery for all eternity, but the beauty of God, the love of God, the life of God, the light of God. Jesus says this, it is light, it is word, it is all eyes that looks everywhere. Nothing can hide from us, triune God. The all eyes is in the book of Revelation, inside and out. The divine will is all light, it is all word, it is all eyes, it looks everywhere. Nothing can hide from the triune God. This light is also work. This light is also step. This light is also life that gives life to everyone and everything. We're going to enter into this. It's a glimpse at this point. The way to explain it is let's go to the throne of God. Okay, right when you go to the throne of God, there, let's say there's a door there. Okay, the light of God is behind the door. What we can see right now is the reflection of the light underneath the door, the little slit of light coming from the light that's behind. The book of heaven to me is getting up to the door of heaven and waiting for God to say, now you have proved that you want this more than anything. Now I will open the door to you. Who opens the door? Who's at the gate of heaven? It's always said it's Peter. He has the keys to the kingdom. Through the Holy Father, this gift will be given to all the world. Read the three appeals. It's very clear. And it's nothing to be doom and gloom about. It's to be excited about what God is going to do, what God has shown us from the beginning when he gave the keys to Peter, right from the beginning. He knew Louisa was coming to give him, as Jesus said to Louisa, you must be the key. Why? That the Holy Father will use to open the door of the kingdom, to let this kingdom of God reign on earth as it is in heaven. So what does he say? This light is also work. This light is also step. This light is also life that gives life to everyone and everything. And it contains the inexhaustible divine beauties of endless joys, of endless happinesses. This is why the children of the divine will are happy. I've heard so many people say this to me that, coming to the prayer groups, coming to the retreats, we're having another retreat in August, the family reunion of the divine will in Rome City again, Indiana. If you haven't been there, wait to see what God's got planned for that little place. Our Lady says that there will be more miracles here in the United States than at Lourdes and Fatima, basically combined. What's coming is a new and divine way of holiness, where healings, it's spiritual, physical, mental, emotional healings are going to explode. I mean, God wants us to enter into this inexhaustible divine beauties, the endless divine joys, the endless divine happinesses of heaven on earth. So if you haven't been to the retreat in August, you're missing something. It's going to be better than ever. Amazing things are happening. Good things are being given. God's got great plans. You can't outdo God and his generosity by being generous to be there. It's a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is difficult, but it's always fiat. That's the beauty. So Jesus says this. Now, the soul who lives always in our divine will is always under this reign of light of our ruling and creative word. As Jesus speaks, everything is being divinely ruled. Everything is being created. Creative life is coming out of everyone and everything. Oh, how our word transforms the soul who wants to live in the divine will. Our word always speaking to the soul about our supreme being. That's what you get when you read the Book of Heaven. This word transforms us. This word is always speaking about the supreme being, producing all our divine effects upon the soul. This is with Louisa first. And now God wants to, it's overflowing from Louisa to us with such a variety of beauty that we, the triune God, ourselves remain enraptured over the souls living in the divine will. Finally, Jesus says, I'm seeing what God wanted, the Father wanted from the beginning, that all of the children of Adam begin to live in the divine will, but we're getting more than what God gave to Adam. We have now the new life of Jesus, the new life of Mary. If we want to dive into this, our gaze of light is constantly on Louisa and the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Our step always runs towards Louisa and the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Our work hugs Louisa and the little children of the Divine Will with their arms of light, squeezes Louisa and all the little children of the Holy Divine Will to our lap. This is where we belong, one with God, as little children of God. All of them pour light upon Louisa and the little children of the Holy Divine Will. To communicate to Louisa and all the little children of the Holy Divine Will, our gaze of light, our works, our steps of light, of life, of love. When you read the Book of Heaven, this is where you are. You're on the lap of the Father. God is finally receiving what he wanted to do with Adam and all his children, but more so now, because what Louisa possesses is the true life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So Jesus says this. He's offering this to us. He's asking us to enter into this new and divine way of holiness. He's offering us the book of heaven. And there's nothing like the book of heaven. Jesus tells that to Louisa. There's nothing like this. All the books that have ever been written, he says, are, you know, might be good and holy and saintly. But the divine will, the book of heaven, is the only book that can transform a soul. But listen, this is what happens when you read. He says, the soul who always lives in our divine will is always under the reign of light, of our divine ruling, of our creative word, and how our divine word transforms the souls in the divine will, always speaking to the souls in the divine will about our supreme being, and produces all our divine effects upon Louisa and her children with such variety of beauty that we ourselves remain enraptured looking at their children. Our gaze of light is constantly on Louisa and her children. On our steps are run always towards Louisa and her children. Our works hug Louisa and her children with their arms of light and squeezes Louisa and her children on our lap. And all of them pour light upon Louisa and our children. All of them communicate to Louisa and her children our gaze of light, our works and steps of light. Therefore, the one, Louisa, the one, who always lives in our divine will, is in continuous and direct communication with her creator, with her God. This is the perennial communion that Jesus promises Louisa, prophesies to Louisa that's coming. Right now, when we receive Holy Communion, Jesus said he's getting his children ready for that perennial communion that's coming. So in that 15 minutes after you receive Holy Communion, God is waiting. Who understands this? Who is adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God, being in communion with Jesus for that 15 minutes until the host dissolves? He says, if you're really making sure that you're one with God, adoring him, as the saints do in heaven, praising him as the saints do in heaven, he says that you're getting ready for the perennial communion that's coming, where we will walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening as Adam did, never to be separated from God. This is what he says. He says, therefore, Louisa, the soul who always lives in our divine will, is in continuous and direct communications with God, receiving all the effects that a God can produce for their children. On the other hand, the one who operates is in communication with our works, with her works are molded with our works. So to live in the divine will is to enter into this new and divine way of holiness. Don't limit God. People limit God by saying, well, I doubt that's going to happen to me. God goes, it can't happen to you. You've already said no to God. That's limiting God. I doubt if this is going to happen. Begin to live the life, the light, the love that Jesus is pouring into Louisa. Always being alive in the divine will. Continuous and direct communications with our creator. Receiving all the effects that God can produce. And then operate in the divine will. In communication with God's works. And then our works are molded within God's works. This is what it means to become a child of God. Great things are happening. Amazing things are happening. Good and divine way of living is happiness. And God has given it to us. I think we're going to have a new talk next week. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
And that concludes our Sunday for today. Thanks be to God. Bye, everyone.